and it's going to be a great afternoon. So if you would like to come for a picnic, then you're welcome. Michelle, could you come on down for a minute, please? This is Michelle. Give Michelle a big round, please. If you don't know where Hampstead Heath Bandstand is, Michelle would love to take you. So after this morning's meeting, then if you just have a word with Michelle, it's a short walk from here to Hampstead Heath by the bandstand. If you haven't bought any food, there's a cafe where you can buy some food. But we're going to be enjoying a nice afternoon today on Hampstead Heath, really enjoying the sunshine and enjoying the music. So that will be today after the meeting. So if you're not sure where it is, see Michelle. Now, our son David's back from South Africa. He wanted to tell us a little bit about what's been happening. David, just come and say thank you. Come and say thank you.
Hello, everyone. It's great to be back. I'm excited to see everyone. And I'm just going to give you a quick few minutes or few seconds of what's been happening. So over the last 6 months, I've been doing something called Discipleship Training School, which is with a Christian organization called Youth with a Mission. Youth with a Mission are all the way around the world. They have bases all the way around the world. And I chose to do mine Discipleship Training School in South Africa. So over the last three months, I learned about God's heart for me, what God really said about me, and my values were challenged through different speakers coming in and talking about different subjects. And also the next 3 months were me and a team of other people, we went to Thailand, and we went to Laos, which is next to Vietnam, and what we'd learned over the last 3 months, we had to put into action. So we went into schools and we taught English to Thai kids about primary school and also secondary, and through the Bible, and also just to teach them English. And we also went into prisons and junior detention centers, and we shared the love of God to these prisoners. And some of them never heard of God, and they gave their lives to God while we were there. So it was an incredible time I've experienced. And I'd love to share more, but I have a short window, so I'll keep it brief. So also, thank you very much for everyone's prayers and support while I've been, because I really felt so encouraged that I have such a wonderful family who are praying for me. I'm not talking about just this three here. I'm talking about all of you. Yeah, so thank you for your support, and I really appreciate it.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Thank you, David. John, we're very excited because the summer's getting hotter and hotter. And as the summer progresses, we come through a lovely August. And as we come through lovely August, special time in August, we got it September, something we're looking forward to. John, tell us what we're looking forward to in September. John's planning, John's got it in his heart. John, tell us, what is it we're looking forward to in September?
A bigger family. Like David just said, I think one of the biggest things in life is having a family. And as a church, I think we have come of age and we are such a wonderful family. But sometimes what family needs to do is extend our love and friendship to other people. Some months ago, I had Nick come visit us. And my neighbor, after I've seen him to his car on coming back, my neighbor said to me, is that your friend? And I says, no, that's my brother. And he looked a bit, but truly, he is my brother. And that's what the international service is about. It's about true family. The family of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the intention is to stretch that family around the world. I remember that day when I said I was going to come as a Scottish. We had difficulties accepting that because then we're expecting the... But to me, it was an amazing day. The pictures were seen in Nigeria, and I got a couple of comments. But all the comments were so sweet. I remember one comment said, he said, what is this about? and I tried to explain the international service. And the person said to me, how awesome will heaven be when we all gather, all raise, all people in the name of Christ? Please, on this 20th of September 2015, once again, Jesus will be celebrating his Godship. And we'd like you to invite our friends, our family members, and even our colleagues at work. I have started already, and I believe on the 20th, I'll come as... I'll tell you next week.
Thanks, John. Fantastic, fantastic. Brilliant. So that's September the 20th. Now, we like to plan ahead here at New Life. Particularly Michelle likes to plan ahead. And so Michelle's thinking of August, but not August 2015. Oh, no. Michelle is thinking of August 2016. Tell us, Michelle, what's going to happen on August 2016?
Well, we're going to India. Hopefully lots of you. Okay. David Abbott, as you may know, visits our an orphanage in India in August every year. And some of us have been wanting to go for a while. And last November, in fact, three of us, Elaine and I and my cousin Susan, we went out to India in November without David, because he goes in August. But although it's the tail end of the monsoon, it only rains for 1 hour a day and then it's completely dry afterwards. So it's not that bad. It's not like rain all day. So anyway, so we're going again, and we're going to fly to Chennai in South India, and then we're going to catch a long train ride, which is how all the Indians travel. So it's going to be a great experience. And then we're going to just work in the orphanage and in the local villages for about a week. We had a wonderful experience when we went, but there was only three of us and there weren't enough pairs of hands to go round, because the children love playing games. They like playing chess, which is one-to-one, draughts, which is one-to-one, and various games which you can play in groups. So in August 2016, we're planning to go back with David Abbott on a missions trip to the orphanage and to the local villages. Rajahmundry is south, well, mid-east India, and it's not a tourist zone. So you don't get mobbed or people don't beg for anything because they're not used to tourists. So you just go and mix among the villages, get invited in to pray blessings, and it's amazing. So we went round the villages and we had to pray for a lady that had been stung by a scorpion, which was a bit nerve-wracking because we wanted the prayers to be effective. And the accommodation that we stay in is clean but basic, and they prepare the food with great care and good hygiene so nobody gets sick. And no one was sick, and the 100 and whatever number of children, none of them were sick either. Everyone was healthy and everyone kept washing their hands. So that was good. There's a lot we can do, lots of games, lots of fun, and lots of praying. Yeah, so that's our bedroom. See, it's quite basic, but adequate. And we got used to it, and it became home after a few minutes. The showers were quite fun. It was a big bucket of water and a little cup. And you stand by the hole, and you use the little cup, and you pour it over you. So that was fun. And then there's some of the local villages. Poor homes, but lovely people, beautiful people. And although they don't speak much English, they just love praying and smiling and serving us drinks and things. So it was really nice. It's going to be brilliant fun and fabulous experience. And there's loads of people already that are quite keen to come. When the Australians go, there's about 20 to 30 people that go. So there's no limit on numbers of going. And my work colleague's coming with her teenage son because she thinks he would benefit. And so we look forward to lots of people flooding in and wanting to come. That's the local village. And as you start to pray from home to home, the whole village follows you around the village. So by the last home, you've got the whole village with you and people to interpret, which is good. We look very dull because we had plain clothes. So if you want to come, try to bring fancy clothes. They like the girls dressed up in pretty things. So if you've got pretty things, wear them. They're not very keen on our plain things, and they were always trying to dress us up. So they squashed Elaine into a teenager's Indian outfit. But she couldn't breathe, so she couldn't keep it on very long. But Yeah, thank you, and please come.
Are we just going to quickly show your movie, James? Yeah? He's just done a quick little film of Carroty Wood, which is actually kind of, you know, proper pictures, not just a slideshow.
Johnny, Johnny, can you share any thoughts with us? Can you share any thoughts on what you think?
Yeah, we're just hanging out by the fire.
Health and safety regulations by...
It's been your favourite part of Carroty Wood.
Sorry, what's
your favourite part of Carroty Wood?
Favourite part. I'm being down by the campfire.
Campfire?
Yeah, definitely.
Did you enjoy the swamp?
No, I didn't. I didn't even go near it.
You didn't
Terrible
even go.
Terrible things were happening there. Terrible, I heard.
Amazing things.
James, thank you so much for doing that. Now, the plan is, just briefly, is that the little ones, the sunbeams, so if you're below reception, you're going to head out for about 20 minutes or so. We're just doing a really short little message bit now, which is going to have pictures and stuff. So if the younger ones would like to head off, and then if you're reception and up, we need you to come to the front. So we might ask the front row to move back a bit, but we're not giving out lollipops yet, but we will give them out. So all of Flame, and if you're reception and everyone else, anyone else. But what you need to do, guys, is you need to be able to see the whole of the screen. So if you can't see it, you need to move around a bit or forward a bit, or you can sit on the chairs. There's chairs behind you. One of the most wonderful things about being on that camp was the teenagers who helped lead it. It was just such a special thing. So amazing for us to have these teenagers doing tents and looking after the children. It was really wonderful. So, should we turn off one more light, maybe, so you could really see? And then where's Bethany? Is she around? Because she's going to come up in a second. Yeah, do you want to just come and sit here? Or, yeah. There we go. Right, now I can't see a thing, but that doesn't really matter. Okay, just to very quickly say that the story that we looked at over the weekend, as you've probably got to realise, is the story of the parable of the sower. And this is in three of the Gospels. This story is told in three of the Gospels. Brilliant. And it's an incredibly powerful message that Jesus brought. And if you read it in the Gospel of Mark, you see that there's a run-in to this story that Jesus told. And what it was at that point, huge crowds, the Bible said, were coming to hear Jesus speak by the shores of Lake Galilee. Such huge crowds. They were coming in from countries to the north, to the south, and to the east of Israel. It wasn't just in Israel. There were thousands of people coming in from countries that we now know as Jordan and Lebanon, were flooding in to hear Jesus speak. And the crowds became so great that Jesus in the end said, get a little boat. Yeah, we'll keep this picture. And I will speak. If the crowds get too big one day, I'm going to stand in a boat and I'm going to talk to the people. And on this particular day, the crowds were so great. It said not only were they coming from the other countries, they were coming from every city in Israel. We don't know how many were there that day. But this was the day when Jesus finally said to the disciples, I'm going to get into the boat and I'm going to speak from the boat. And then from that boat, he told the story of the sower. This isn't just some little story. This was a powerful message from Jesus. And he cried out as he started it and he said, listen, listen, he said. Then he told the story and at the end he did something very unusual. He didn't often do this. He said he lifted up his voice and he cried out, if you've got ears, you need to hear the message of this parable. And then the disciples said to him, explain it, explain it. And he said, most people will never understand this story, but I want you to understand it. And he said, what's more, if you don't understand this story, you're not going to understand the other stories I've told. So that is the background to this incredible parable of the sower. Bethany's just going to quickly come and share a few thoughts, and then Nick's going to put up some pictures. We're just going to quickly say we're not going to do the little film that we're going to do because we think there's not going to be time.
Is that okay? So yeah, with the story, I think the main thing that hit me when we did it was the idea that if you're the good soil and if you take in God's word, that you can produce a large crop. So I think often what I find that as a Christian, once you realize that you can get to heaven just because you believe, it kind of feels like, well, what's the point of doing all the other stuff if you know you're saved already? And I think this story kind of really reinforces that idea that if we truly take in God's word and really use it, it will effectively, we should be able to all create a massive harvest, which is 100-fold, so that in the end, we're not just saving ourselves, but if we truly take in God's word and put it into action, you can save many people, and then it will produce a massive harvest in God's honor and kind of provide and, help people, because without the food, there's starvation. So effectively, if we don't have God's word, we have nothing, and we're like, yeah, you can only thrive if you have the full harvest.
You want a movie, do you? Yeah, there's time, there's time. Okay, do you like the question? Which type of soil are you? Let's see if I can get this thing back. Fantastic. Amazing. The technology is working on my side today. There's going to be some lollipops here at the front for the eager listeners. Of course, if you'd like to come and sit at the front and cross your legs and on the floor, you're welcome to have a lollipop as well. But did you see the question there? Which one are you? Do you remember that Joseph was making the point that Jesus said that this is the most important of all the parables, and that we won't get any of the other parables unless we get this one? That's what he said. So it's really, really important. And I believe that at any moment in time, we can identify in our own hearts which ones are affecting our lives. Are you the path? Are you the life that's full of weeds choking God's life in you? Or are you the good soil, or are you the shallow one? I don't know. I'm only going to talk about one of those things this morning. On Friday, I was trying to lay a bit of lawn in Amy's and Drew's garden, and I thought it was an easy task. So I thought I just got to dig down, looked in my garden, my lawn expert book, 6 inches of soil. I put the fork in and realized that I'd only got 2 inches, if that, and there was a problem, and this was the problem. I had to dig up all those bricks, because they were underneath, about 2 inches down, were a whole lot of bricks, and there was no chance that that lawn would have grown properly. So this parable's all about that, making things grow and getting things right in our lives. This is a lovely picture here, isn't it? A farmer went out to sow. And there were 4 kinds. Do you remember on Carroty Wood? There was the path. There were the weeds. David Abbott told us all about this. The stony ground and the good soil. And we have to decide which of one of these ones we're going to be. We're aiming to be the good soil and see all that beautiful plowed earth there. Because at the end of our lives, we want to get to heaven and say to God, our life was worth it. That there was a harvest in our lives, as Bethany so beautifully put it. It's not just about getting to heaven, is it? It's God using our lives and our lives being fruitful. Who wants a harvest in their lives? Who wants to be useful to God? I believe many of us do. And that means we need to have a tender heart. Do you remember the memory verse? Be kind to one another, tender-hearted. So it's all about this thing. Our hearts, the whole of our lives. John Wesley called Christianity a heart religion. So think about your heart today, not ever anybody else's, not about your mums or your brothers or your sisters. Think about your heart. We're looking at this only one thing this morning, just the one thing. We're looking at the path. Do you remember this one? The heart that was a path. And what is it, this path like? Is it easy for things to grow on there? No, why? What's wrong with it? That's right, Joel, fantastic. It's too hard. Some fell along the path. So we're talking about a hard heart. How does our heart become hard? In a minute, I'm going to describe to you what a hard heart is, what it means to be hard-hearted. But how do our hearts get into that condition that they are hard? This is what it says in Hebrews. Take care, it says, that none of you are hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So every time we disobey God or we have the wrong attitude, then our heart is hardened. And here's a picture of a heart. Can you see that? There's a beautiful red heart on the one side. And on the other side, it's beginning to crust over. Things are beginning to form on that heart. And that's exactly what happens in our hearts. And the little question marks, you can fill those yourself. It could be that you've had an argument with your brother or your sister. It could be that you did something bad. It could be that you stole something. It could be that you lied and you didn't tell the truth. It could be that you won't forgive somebody. And these things gradually, one by one, form a crust over our hearts. That's a picture of a heart that's been hurt. Can you see it's got a plaster on it? A heart that's been hurt. And sometimes when we go through hard, difficult, bad things at home, at school, at work, most of us have had some tough situation. And our hearts suffer, don't they? And they could become like that. They could be crusted over. It all depends how we react to the situation. So something terrible happens to you, and you decide, I'm just going to feel really sorry for myself. You could decide, I'm going to go into work on Monday, and I'm just going to complain from the beginning of the day to the end. You could decide, when somebody hurts you, that you're never going to forgive them. You could decide, oh, this is too bad. I'm not going to follow God. I'm not going to be a Christian. How we react when bad things happen affect the state of our hearts. Do you know, some people go through really terrible things. Do you remember when Gerard Long was here as an example, who lost his son and his daughter in the last few years? And he made a decision. I'm not going to let my heart crust over like this. I'm going to keep my heart open to God. And he was able to find God in the most terrible difficulty. And he proved to me that you can keep a soft heart in the middle of the most terrible things. So some fell along the path. It was trampled on. Sometimes in life we get trampled on by people, by situations. Rob, sitting at the back. Where are you, Rob? Oh, maybe he's gone. But Rob helped me many years ago to cut down a tree in our garden. There he is, discreet as ever. And that tree fell with a tremendous thump on our lawn in our garden. And you know, to this day, you can't grow grass properly where that tree fell. It compacted all the earth, and the earth became really hard. And I've just learned from my lawn expert what I've got to do. I've got to dig holes in there, and I've got to let the air in to loosen the earth. So there's something we can do when bad things happen to us. We can let God in. Don't let your heart be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So when we get hurt, our hearts can become crusted over or not. Now the devil's plan is that our heart would look something like this, so that there is nothing left soft in our hearts, that we just become really hard, bitter, nasty, selfish people. That's what he wants. And so it's hard work to keep our hearts soft. What does a hard heart look like? Do you know the hardest thing about a hard heart is knowing that your heart is hard? Sometimes we think we're absolutely fantastic. There's nothing wrong with us. We are wonderful Christians. We're sailing along in life. But the Bible says the heart is more deceitful than anything else. If you want to have a soft heart, then you're going to have to listen really carefully to what God says about your heart. A hard heart, here's a few clues, sees the faults of others, but not our own. Do you know we should judge ourselves and not others? When you start judging somebody else, just turn your eyes around on yourself and look for your own faults. The opposite of this was the Pharisees. Do you remember them? Do you remember the Pharisee there and the sinner down at the bottom? He's looking up. He's all holy. Oh, thank you, God, that I am not like this man. I say my prayers. I fast. I do all this stuff. I'm wonderful, is what he said. And there's that man down at the bottom. Can you see him? He's the sinner, the tax collector. And it says that he wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. He just said, oh, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Who had the soft heart? Anybody? Was it the man in the corner or was it the Pharisee? Yeah, the man in the corner, wasn't it? It's the man who's conscious of his need of God and of forgiveness and God's mercy. A hard heart doesn't care about people. Do you know, we can sail through life looking after number one, looking after me, and not caring about anybody else. But God wants our heart to reach out to others. That's why Michelle's organizing this trip. She's interested in other people. She fills her life with other people. Don't want you to get proud, Michelle, and hard-hearted. But it was a good example. Filling our lives with other people and not just caring about ourselves. Do you know, hard-hearted people find it hard to cry? But a soft-hearted person will weep when they feel the pain of others. Jesus said, if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Do you know, the other day, I was really angry with somebody and I went out of the house in a bit of a, you know, shaking my shoulders, walked up the road. And as I was walking up the road, thinking about this incident, I felt God say to me, if you close, literally, I felt him whisper in my heart really clearly, if you close your heart to this person, you're closing your heart to me. So I knew I had to instantly forgive and find the love of God in my heart. And I found it. A hard heart isn't bothered by sin. Oh, well, I stole a few chocolates. I was selfish today. Probably don't even notice. Most of the time, we don't even notice the things we do wrong, do we? Maybe at the end, maybe something really bad happens, or we get found out. Wouldn't that be terrible? Has anybody ever done something that they wouldn't like anybody to find out? I'm putting up both hands. Many things. I'd be really ashamed if somebody found out that I'd done that. But you know, God saw all those things. Does it matter that God sees us? A hard heart is not bothered by sin. This is how the Bible describes it. Do you know what these things are here? They're branding irons. And a farmer, we used to do this. It's a bit cruel when you think about it. And I think people now put electronic tags on the animals. But in those days, and certain places in the world today, they get the initial of the farmer. They heat it up. This metal, there's a P there. Can you see it? Really, really hot. And they put it on the skin of the cow. And it goes, and smoke goes up. And then the cow gets over it. From then on, it knows that it belongs to that farmer. And if anybody steals that cow, they know who it belongs to. But then after that, if you went and touched the cow on that brand where it's been burnt, it wouldn't feel it. Because when we get burnt, then we are desensitized and we can't feel it. And that's what happens if we keep on doing what God doesn't want over and over again. We stop listening and we can't feel God saying no. And our hearts become very, very hard, like the skin of the animal that's been burnt. A hard heart doesn't hear God. I believe God wants us to hear him every day. Read the Bible. He's speaking to me. Walk down the street. He's got something to say to me. You should be able to say to me at the end of every day, what did God say to you today? And we should all be able to say, well, actually, he's speaking to me about this. But if that's not your experience, you need to look at your heart. Because a hard heart finds it difficult to hear God. We hear him less and less. Jesus said, for this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear. A hard heart does not experience God. How many of the children who came and the teenagers who came on Carrity Wood would say that they felt God? Yeah, hands up. You felt God in your heart, nice and high. That's why we do Carrity Wood, so that we experience God's love and we know him more in our hearts. But if our hearts are hard, we don't experience God. Do you remember this picture? Jesus, the light of the world. He's knocking at the door of a hard heart. Notice the weeds have grown up. Can you see the weeds? That door hasn't been open for a long, long time. And that's what a hard heart is. Jesus is knocking on our hearts and he wants to come in. He wants to give us joy. He wants to give us peace. He wants to rearrange the furniture so that things are better for us and for him. But if our hearts are hard, he can't do that. And then last of all, our hearts cannot be fruitful. Can you see the picture here? Can you see the hard ground here? The path? And on the side, there's stuff growing, isn't there? but on the path nothing can grow. And at the end of my life, I want to go to heaven and say, God, was my life useful? Yes, Nick, a little bit. Well done. Come in. I don't want my heart to be hard all the time that God can't use me. I believe the reason that we don't see more people come to know Jesus is because as a church, the church generally, our hearts are too hard. And if we would let God get into our hearts, he would be able to use us much, much more. So there's a challenge there, isn't there? How do we get our hearts from there to there? I think it doesn't happen overnight. No one waves a magic wand over you and everything's perfect. It's a journey, isn't it? For many of us, we've got soft parts of our heart and we've got hard parts of our heart and we've got weeds and things growing up a little bit here, a little bit there. But we want to become like that big, juicy red heart, don't we? Full of Jesus. This is the last thing we're going to look at. Let us come boldly. In the chapter in Hebrews, it talks about the hard heart that we've talked about this morning. The end of the chapter, the conclusion, the end of it is this. Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, and there we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Anybody here feel that their heart is harder than it should be? I have to say yes to that. Even this morning, I did a couple of things. I thought, oh God, oh God. And I know my heart needs to improve. A lot of hands went up then. That's honesty, isn't it? God just wants us to be honest. And because Jesus died, it means that we can come to him and receive the second word, mercy. Mercy is what it is, getting something that we don't deserve. And that's God's forgiveness. So we come and we confess and say, God, my heart is hard. Please forgive me. And if you can remember the things that you've done, all the better. Every day, God, forgive me. And then we need the second word, grace. Grace is God giving us power in our hearts. It's the Holy Spirit coming and changing our hearts. We're going to pray now. And Johnny and the musicians, would you like to just come and play softly that song, Have Your Way? We sang that at the beginning, didn't we? But really, I want us to sing this as a prayer to God. If you want to say, have your way. If everybody stay seated for a moment. But if you feel in your heart that you want to come to God and say, yes, my heart has been hard, please forgive me and help me, I'd like you to stand up now. Don't be embarrassed. I'm standing, not because I'm talking, but because I need this thing. And so what we're saying is we're coming to God and saying, God, forgive me. And then we're saying, have your way. So we're going to sing this now. First, I'm going to pray. And then we're going to sing it. And after I've sung it, one of the things that happened at Carity Wood was that we ended up praying for one another. We don't have to confess the specifics of the thing. You can if you want, but you don't have to do that. We're just confessing, God, my heart is hard and I need your help. Now, we prayed for one another. It says in the Bible, confess your faults to one another. It says at the end of James, and pray for one another that you may be healed. And so we're going to pray this morning that God will again touch our hearts and turn those rocky, hard places into something soft. So as we sing this, after I've prayed, just come to the front if you would like to be prayed for. Some of the teenagers, some of the children can pray for you. They might like to be prayed for themselves. But we're together, as David talked about this morning. This is a family, and God loves it when we work together as a family and humble ourselves as little children. Let's pray. Father, we recognize this morning that our hearts are too hard. Even this morning, Father, you know me, Lord. I slipped up, Father, and my heart was hard. Please forgive me for that, Lord. Please forgive me. Let's just bring to God now the areas of our heart that we think are hard. It may be that our hearts are unforgiving. Bring that to God. Our hearts are bitter. There's somebody we really find it hard to get on with. We even hate somebody. Maybe we've done bad things. We've lied. We've stolen. We've hurt people with our words. We've been disobedient. The cross is standing there to forgive us all our sins. Jesus, we bring these things to you. We thank you for dying on the cross for us, Lord. We pray, could you wash us in your precious blood right now, Lord? And wash away our sin. Wash it away so that it's yesterday, it's in the past. Father, we bring these things to you, Lord. We thank you for your mercy. And Lord, we're coming to you this morning and asking you for help with our hearts. Would you give us forgiveness, Lord? Would you give us love? Would you give us holiness, Lord? Would you give us courage and strength, Lord? Would you give us your holiness, we pray. As we pray for one another, would you pour your Holy Spirit afresh into our hearts, Lord? Amen. 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 So we're going to sing now, Have Your Way. And as we do, if you would like someone to pray with you, be it the children, the teenagers, adults, we're just going to spend some time here at the front praying for one another. Just a simple prayer that God would help us and make our hearts softer.